We move to the third inning, no score, and all ready to bring the action your way and introduce our guests, Dave O'Brien.
Well, our man in the booth is Arnold Dean, and needs no introductions in this part of the world because, well, you own this part of the world.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
50 years at work, and, of course, WTIC, a great affiliation, as Joe was mentioning just before moments you came on the air, a great affiliation with the Boston Red Sox going back many, many decades. It's a treat to have you in the booth with us.
Well, it's great to be here again, Dave. The last time I was on with Joe up here, I think it was a five-pitch inning. And I'll see if I bring similar luck tonight.
Well, it's great to have you alongside.
You've
been coming to Fenway Park now. Can you go all the way back the first time you walked through the gates of Fenway?
Actually, I was in the service at Westover, which is near Springfield, when I came and saw Ted Williams play one afternoon. That would have been in about 55, 56.
Did Teddy Ballgame hit one out that
No, he didn't. I was very disappointed. But they put the shift on it. He hit two ground balls so sharply hit that they got through the shift.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that with Big Poppy as well.
That's right.
That version of the Williams shift, I guess you could say. Yeah. Robinson Cano will step in against Curt Schilling as we get the third inning underway on a sparkling night in Boston. And the first pitch is up and away for ball one. Now, one of the things about your bio that's fascinating is, I mean, going back to the earliest days of sports talk radio, I think you can pretty much take ownership for starting sports talk radio and what it has now become. The 1-0 pitch misses outside for a ball, and it's 2-0 on Cano.
I'll take credit for anything I can. But actually, there were a few talk shows around the country, but nothing that I had ever really heard before. So I had nothing to base it on. I just opened the phones one night, and thank God it never stopped ringing.
The pitch to Cano is over but low for ball three, and so Schilling, one more outside the strike zone from walking his first man and putting the first Yankee on here tonight.
And even before the talk show, we used to watch Arnold as a sports anchor at Channel 3 in Hartford when we were little kids.
Rubbing it in, the 3-0 pitch hits the inside corner for strike. You also have Syracuse ties. I think everybody in the booth does.
Yeah, and Joe, of course, also had the affiliation with Colgate. Mm-hmm. So he claims that he watched me on television when I was on in Syracuse.
That's true.
So it's a long time ago. This shows you how old Joe is.
Well, Joe has been around a while. Only 25 years at this microphone. Here's the 3-1. Swung on, line drive into left field. Manny closing. Reaches down. Cannot make the play. He scooped it up off the grass. It'll be a base hit for Cano. Manny Ramirez tumbling after he made the play, but it did indeed hit the grass as he backhanded that one and then rolled over. A base hit for Cano.
We're talking about that first game you carried at WTIC in 57. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 10-7 in 12 innings. And in that game, Casey Stengel batted the pitcher Don Larsen eighth and the second baseman Jerry Coleman ninth.
Coleman must have loved it.
Oh.
I want to say one thing, Joe, while I have a second here. Dave is an excellent addition to the broadcast booth. Welcome aboard.
Yes, indeed.
Arnold, thank you very much. Great treat to be alongside Mr. Castiglione and Glenn Geffner. Melky Cabrera stands in. He takes one inside and low. The Yankees with a base runner here in the third inning. And no score. Now, when you open up the microphones for the first time and doing strictly a sports talk show, first of all, was it that or did you mix in other topics as well?
Oh, no. We were strictly a sports show. And it was mainly about the Red Sox, even then. Baseball fans love to talk about their sport 12 months a year, unlike any other sport.
The 1-0 pitch is a breaking ball downstairs, 2-0 on Cabrera.
You got some great calls to when Yankee fans would call, because Hartford's always been more or less the dividing line, though we like to think it's moving south past New Haven now.
Back in your home country there, Joe. But I think that there's not a preponderance of Red Sox fans in Connecticut, but I think there is a slight edge going to the Red Sox over the Yankees.
Cabrera just at 204 in the early going. Schilling delivers. Slapped that, fouled away off to the left, and now it's 2-1.
And the last time I was on, Joe, you asked about how many Mets fans there were. And frankly, I think that number is starting to grow a little bit, finally. It's the only National League baseball that anybody in the state seems to pay much attention to. And I'm happy to see that disparity in the listeners.
Well, the Mets are a terrific ball club this Yankee team. They really swing the bats with just about anybody. Schilling's pitch swung on, looping line drive into center. That's going to drop down for a base hit. Cano advancing 90 feet into second. So back-to-back singles. Now, Schilling in the first two innings gave up several 400-foot fly ball outs and barely survived those two frames. On a warmer night, it might be a different situation right now. Ball might be flying out of here, but now he's given up back-to-back singles in the third.
I'm in Kavich hearing the boos. I wonder if the Yankees might have him bunt here. That's not normally their style, but he's hitting 147.
He has not produced the way they expected him to. Although he's an excellent first baseman, people are wondering now whether maybe they should put somebody else at first base, even if it's Giambi.
Well, 5 out of 34 so far and one home run, so indeed his bat has disappointed. One of the few guys you see who goes without the batting gloves and chokes up. Looking to bunt here, drops it down third base side. Schilling will scoop, take a look at third, go to first. Youkilis there to cover. One man out, but a sacrifice bunt dropped down by Mankiewicz. In spots like that, does handle the bat well. So the Yankees with two men in scoring position here with one away.
Well, Lowell was charging, so nobody was covering third. If they had a wheel play on, they might have had it out at third, but that wasn't employed.
And the boos for Johnny Damon, who has tapped out to second. He is 0 for 1. Arnold Dean, one of the real deans of sports announcing and broadcasting period in New England for 50 years at the microphone. Well, you've got the pipes, Arnold. You have one of those true, natural, great, rich voices.
Thank you. I hope the voice is not getting older like the rest of me.
Still sounds wonderful. The pitch is on the outside corner, right on the black edge of the plate for strike. That's on Damon.
Also nice to have Joe D'Ambrosio with us, the voice of the UConn Huskies.
Joe, one of my favorite guys at the microphone. Does a tremendous job play-by-play for the Huskies.
They had a shorter year than normal this year.
See, Joe is just saying that. Does not expect the same next year. Damon takes one just inside. A crowd wanted a strike there and did not get it. It's 1-1.
Well, can you guys confirm the story about your coach, Jim Calhoun? He wouldn't throw the ball out of Yankee Stadium?
He would. Well, he said he wouldn't throw out the first pitch, guys, when they asked him. Of course, he came here in 2004, threw it out, and the Red Sox did something in October they hadn't done for 86 years.
Yeah, I wonder what that might have been.
Yeah. Second and third for the Yankees here. One down and the pitch to Damon. Swung on ground ball, skipping off the mound. Lugo has it behind second. Has to throw onto first base, and that's all the Red Sox get as a run comes in to score, and the Yankees lead it 1-0. On a little ground ball up the middle by Johnny Damon. So Damon will pick up the RBI. Runner at third with two down on a 6-3 off the bat of the former Red Sox leadoff hitter.
So the bunt paid off.
It did indeed. Mankiewicz doing good work to get down that sacrifice bunt and get two men into scoring position. That is RBI number 6 for Damon, and it'll bring up Jeter. A beautiful night here at Fenway Park. Just a sparkling evening.
It was a beautiful day as well. A little windier earlier, and I thought it was going to be colder than it is. Fortunately, the wind died down a little bit tonight.
Jeter 0 for 1. He has popped out to third. Swings right through the first pitch for strike one. And Arnold, I'm coming home. It's been 14 years in West Palm Beach for me, but we just bought a house in Rye, New Hampshire, relocating, and I'm getting used to your weather again. And the first couple of days, I was wondering what I was doing up in Rye, New Hampshire. I was about ready to head home.
I've lived here since 1965, and I'm not sure if I'm used to it yet.
Schilling pushing off the rubber and the pitch, and it's a little high on Jeter. One ball and one strike.
Well, we are thrilled to have WTIC back again this year, renewing this great relationship. And of course, from a personal standpoint, that's where my family listens to the games and where I listen to the games growing up.
Yeah, but a great powerhouse station on the Red Sox network, and great to have you guys back home where you belong with us. As always, the 1-1 pitch is a breaking ball outside. And 2-1 to Jeter. On deck, Bobby Abreu.
If the response we got from listeners was any indication when the rumors came out that there might be a switch, I would have to say that the whole state of Connecticut, at least 60% of it, is thrilled that the Sox are back on TIC because it's home, it's tradition. It's what baseball's about.
Boy, that sums up the Red Sox and the TIC and the entire region, of course, in New England. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. That's on the outside corner for a called strike. Jeter looking back at home plate umpire Randy Marsh, not real happy with that call. It evens the count at 2-2.
He usually complains without turning around to the umpire, but he blatantly did it this time.
Sure did.
Bart Giamatti was a big listener of ours down in your area too, Joe.
Yes, somebody indeed.
Your family knew very well. First time I met him, I was in awe of this guy. And amazingly, he said, "Oh, it's nice to meet you. I listen all the time."
2-2, check swing and a pitch into the dirt, stopped by Veritek, runner holding at third. Now 3-2 on Jeter.
Sometimes you needed a dictionary. with his great vocabulary. What a wonderful guy. Very humble man, too.
He was terrific. And Faye Vincent followed so beautifully in his footsteps.
Bart's Connecticut man.
Bart's son has turned into a heck of an actor, too.
Yeah, yes, I didn't realize that was his son, but he's doing very well.
Schilling looking in, says yes, checks the runner at third, and a big right-hander fires. And that is over but low for ball four. So Schilling has walked Jeter on a close one. And maybe the big glare by the Yankee captain into the face of Randy Marsh bought him that call. So runners at first and third now for the Yankees. And here comes Bobby Abreu, always dangerous with excellent power. He has flied out to deep center field and is only at bat so far tonight. First and third for the Yankees, and they lead it here 1-0 in the third inning. And Schilling will go back to the stretch here.
You were nice enough to mention the 50 years. If Joe lets me work with him at least once next year, I'll hit 60 years in the business.
Joe, what do you think?
I think I'll talk after Kurt throws the first pitch.
That is on the outside corner for a called strike.
You know, following Arnold as the one of the hosts of Sports Talk, kind of like, you know, Leno following Carson without all the cars and the money. And seriously, because so many people respected him, and Arnold did Sports Talk in a kinder, gentler era, tough shoes to follow. We're just glad that he still hangs around to, you know, clean up the situations I create once in a while.
The 0-1 is way outside on Abreu, and it's one ball and one strike. The Yankees with a couple of men on here against Curt Schilling.
Broadcasting has changed a lot in those years, though, too. It was a much friendlier aspect that the broadcasters showed back then to what is current.
Well, your show was always very civil, Arnold, and still is.
Yeah. I liked opposing calls. I liked opposition. We both learned a little something from them.
The 1-1 pitch outside, two balls and one strike. But that's no reason, just because you're on the air and you disagree, and I know you both agree with this, that's no reason to be rude.
Right. You can disagree with the caller, but I think what's also changed, guys, is the caller's attitude towards us. They forget all we're doing is what they're doing. We're giving an opinion, but we're doing it on a 50,000-watt radio station, and they give us money for it. They're calling in to do it.
The 2-1 home, cut on and miss. That one ran inside on Bobby Abreu, and a count out, two balls and two strikes.
41 pitches by Schilling already. It's a lot of work for this early in the ballgame.
Especially when he had a 9-pitch first inning.
Yeah.
But these Yankees make you pay. They just make you work and work.
Well, I was kind of rooting for them to stay up there a little bit, you know, while we had the chance on the air here.
Well, that part of it's all worked out very nicely.
Yeah.
Though the Yankees do have a run on the board, the crowd again wants a strikeout here. Abreu does fan often. Try to hold up. Did he go? The appeal. That's strike three. The appeal to the home plate umpire from the home plate ump to Hunter Wendelstadt, and rang him up for strike three. Arnold and Joe, great pleasure. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Dave. Joe, great to see you guys.
And it's great to be back with the Red Sox on TIC. It's the way it should be in New England.
Thank you very much. 1-0 Yankees here on the WRKO Red Sox Radio Network.